From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, this week's agenda in Washington: equal pay, long-term unemployment, and getting some things finished before spring break.
But first, a potentially hopeful sign in the search for missing Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. An Australian ship equipped with a device from the U.S. Navy has picked up signals consistent with black box pings in the southern Indian Ocean. A Chinese ship over the weekend also reported a signal in a different part of the plane's possible flight path. And Australian Air Chief Marshal Angus Houston, who's coordinating the search, described the development as the most promising lead yet.
With the acoustic events that we're getting in the area, we are encouraged that we're very close to where we need to be.
But he also said it could take days to determine whether the signals are in fact from the missing jet. Let's bring in Andy Pastor. He's senior special writer for The Wall Street Journal. Andy, welcome back.
Nice to be with you.
So we spoke with you last Friday, and there seemed to be a lot of pessimism from the Australians who are leading this search, but the mood, it seems or feels, changed now. Can you tell us how significant these underwater signals are?
The mood is dramatically different, and the facts are dramatically different. This has been a roller coaster of an investigation for almost more than a month now, and everybody wants to be careful not to overstate the positive, but it really does seem, from the body language and also from the specifics that have been released by the Australians, that the search teams believe they are really at the right spot. The most telling point, I think, according to what I can gather from air safety experts, is that they actually picked up two different, slightly different frequencies of from pingers, and that is that they actually may have found both the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder, if these signals are indeed what they appear to be, which would be a tremendous break.
Wow. Now, I'm seeing that the search area where these underwater pings or sounds have been located might be, what, more than 3 miles deep in terms of the amount of water that we're looking at? I mean, how close do the ships and the devices that they're carrying that are listening to these pings, how close do they actually have to be to the black boxes themselves to pick up the signal?
About somewhere between a mile and two, except, as everything in this investigation, there are exceptions. When you go that deep into the oceans, sound waves do funny things, and the investigators and the searchers have talked about how they can carry, sound waves can go long distances, they can be deceptive, and so nothing ever happens easily in this probe. The water is very deep, and I think realistically, even if this is the right place, and even if they are able to identify the wreckage and the black boxes where they are precisely on the ocean floor, winter is coming, big storms are coming, and it's unlikely that you'll be able to use a submersible automated vehicle, that is a small submarine without anybody in it, to look for the wreckage. So we have lots and lots of hurdles ahead of us, but I think this is the most positive sign that we've had for the last month.
Right. But already in this search, we've had things that seemed to be positive, like the debris sightings that the satellites had recorded, which turned out to basically just be ocean garbage. So, I mean, searchers
right.
have to be asking themselves, what else could these sounds be if they're not the black boxes?
That's precisely right. And in fact, the head of the search coordinating committee, former Defense Minister Houston, Australian Defense Minister Houston, was asked that question precisely at the press conference. And you could see that he thought about it a bit, and he simply couldn't come up with a good explanation of what these sounds could be. He's actually listened to the sounds, and he said that it sounds like a beacon. They've analyzed the waves and looked at the waveforms, and it looks like the acoustic pinger or beacon. And so we're not looking, at this point, we're not looking at hopeful signs and satellite images. They actually have captured a signal for more than 2 hours, which is consistent with what you would expect from a black box. So that's a huge step forward.
But Andy, it seems to me also that there's a race against the clock, right? Because the plane has been missing for just over 30 days, which is right around the time of the battery life of these black boxes, right?
That's correct, and as the batteries die, the signals get weaker and weaker, so we may be looking at a situation where it'll be harder and harder to pinpoint the location, but the positive sign is that by the end of today, they will probably have carefully searched an area about 3 miles by 3 miles, a 3 mile square box. And so we're not talking about a gigantic area as we were in the past. The ship has been prowling back and forth about 7 miles as it makes this circuitous route to try to see where the wreckage is. And so, yes, it's very difficult, and we're not even sure that we're in the right place yet. But if we are, the distances, in terms of the distances the ships have to travel to find the wreckage, to pinpoint it, those distances are definitely clearly smaller than they were even a week or two ago.
Well, hopefully zeroing in on, Australian searchers are calling, the most promising development yet. That's Andy Pastor, senior special writer for The Wall Street Journal. Andy, thanks as always.
Excellent. Thank you.